You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
This is Kristen Farrig for The Art World Demystified, and I'm here with Clyde Wagner, executive producer of the Luminato Festival in Toronto. Clyde, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me here.
First of all, for our listeners, perhaps you could give us an idea of what the Luminato Festival is.
Sure. It's now a 16-day multidisciplinary arts festival that was founded in Toronto 10 years ago. This year, it's 2016. Mm-hmm. And it began out of an idea or a concept that was developed through the Toronto City Summit Alliance after the SARS epidemic really damaged tourism into the city of Toronto. They believed that culture played a main factor after doing a study of the arts and culture, both locally but also nationally and internationally. They believed that it could be a driver for tourism. Mm-hmm. They had seen the success of the Toronto International Film Festival, and they felt that by creating this kind of interdisciplinary arts festival in the spring, they could bookend the summer in Toronto to draw in tourism and excite the local public by using the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think for the most part we've been pretty successful at it. We've reached the goal targets that we were looking for within the period that we are, and it's been a great journey.
Well, the festival hit the ground running, like right off the top. It just made a huge splash, and I guess part of what the way that or part of the process was to collaborate with different arts organizations in the city and get a lot of different groups involved.
One of the great things that a festival gets to do, because you're not stuck within a brick and mortar building or a site or what a traditional arts organization like the ballet or the opera,
mm-hmm.
Which are wonderful, wonderful institutions. Particularly in Toronto, we're really lucky to have strong cultural institutions like that. But a festival allows you to work with people outside of your own system, and inherently in the nature of what we do is collaboration. So we have had the opportunity to work with both large institutions, but also local artists, international artists, bringing people in. I mean, part of the focus is to, there was this great saying that we had, take the great artists of Toronto and export mm-hmm. them to the world and bring the great artists of the world and bring them into Toronto. So there's this in and out mm-hmm. collaboration that happens on a yearly basis, which is great.
So what kind of budget do you work with?
It's not small.
Mm.
You have to have a certain amount of resources in order to do what we do and create a certain level of impact, but you also have to show a certain kind of return
mm-hmm.
On that investment, and so we have been successful at doing both.
Right, so you bring, the funding comes from government and private sponsorships and corporate sponsorships, and
there's many layers to the funding. If you look at arts festivals around the world, you'll notice that there's a certain amount of public support for all arts festivals
mm-hmm.
because in the nature of what you're doing, in any business, time plays a factor correlated to your revenue. You can only sell so many units in a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
A festival is a very concentrated yeah. impact of arts. So in doing that, you can only run a show for so many times
mm-hmm.
in that period of time
mm-hmm.
that is the festival. And so because of that, you in order to underwrite the other costs of bringing in the show,
mm-hmm.
you have public support. That also applies to all the visual arts and the collaborations and then the big public events and spectacles. So we've done everything from installations that happen across the city to large public events. Like one year we closed the waterfront in Toronto and had Cirque du Soleil do a wonderful program for
mm-hmm.
us for three
mm-hmm.
days. It was all free to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is just about celebrating the city and what culture and creativity can do. And at that program we had numbers that you know, you would be lucky to get at large sporting events. So right. Same sort of kind of attendance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a great space to do that, too.
Well, the waterfront in Toronto is just such a beautiful, you know, we are a city on the water, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that people need to take advantage of that. And the Toronto, the city of Toronto has so much to offer. We have a lot of fun and exciting places, and because of the nature of the festival, part of my job is that we get to explore those places mm-hmm. and, you know, and go into them and show people, maybe allow them an opportunity to see them in a new way, and we use culture to do that, so
right.
It's really important.
And what is your job, actually? What do you do as executive producer?
I dare anyone to find a really good definition of producer. Uh-huh. Actually, there's a dictionary definition of producer where it likens it to a conduit of a mold producing in an area. You know, it's
yes.
like anything that sort of grows. But really, a producer looks after, which is very funny. I always think that's very funny. I'm like, mold. Really, a producer is looking after all aspects of a project. So if you look, you're basically the ultimate entrepreneur in an entertainment mm-hmm. setting. So you're looking at revenue, costs, marketing, and then development of an artwork, whether that be a movie, a website, a visual artwork. Mm-hmm. You know, you name it, and so you at times you even come up with the project itself, or you're presented with the project and you lead it from start to finish. You work with the throughout the creative development of it. You raise funds against it. You manage the funds so that you hit the target on mm-hmm. time and on budget. You deliver what the work is, and then you market it out and to the public so that you either sell tickets or you hope people come and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's whatever your context of the visual arts or the art that you're working on is in the world that you're working in today.
So you do not only see that a project gets completed or and carry it through from the beginning to the end,
yeah.
but you may also put forward ideas for projects, or that's
sure.
There's sort of a crossover between.
I mean, the best way a producer,
director,
the most wonderful way that a producer, or artistic director, or creative director goes about their job, that is that the way I think it always works really mm-hmm. well, is so you do a broad survey of the artists that you're interested in.
Yeah.
You know, after you've worked in it for a while, you kind of get to know people. Hopefully through education and meetings, but mm-hmm. you meet with people, and I had the great fortune to work with an artistic director named Alex Poots, and he was the one that really galvanized this process, which I mm-hmm. think is really amazing. He would sit down and he'd be like, tell me the one thing you've always wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and let me find a way to help you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say that phrase to artists, and slowly, you know, you would not every single idea would you see to fruition, but eventually during that process, you would see that ultimately there would be a few projects that would come and percolate to
mm-hmm.
the top, and then you're not producing something that you're instilling on
yes.
an artist. You are, in fact, enabling them
mm-hmm.
to do something that they feel so passionate about, that they really want to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And those are always, always, hands down, the best projects
yes.
to produce, without question.
Yes.
Because those are the ones that are the most interesting.
Yeah, and then if you speak to a number of people and ask that question to them, and you're seeing some themes sort of and interconnections, then
yeah, ultimately, a festival can be either a connection of themes or just whatever the creative director
mm-hmm.
or artistic director feels is the best work at that period
right.
of time. So, you know, there are many different ways to mm-hmm. approach it, and many different ways for artistic directors to lay it out. And that's the fun of being a patron of the festival. You
mm-hmm.
get to go and see either a slice of life or a person's particular context or approach, and
mm-hmm.
it just depends on
mm-hmm. and see it in all different art forms.
Yeah.
From music to theater
to visual arts,
visual arts
to dance to
yes.
you know, you name it. We get to do the whole bag.
So now I've been hearing something about a new space that you guys are preparing to work out of, or have started to work out of,
yeah.
and And what's that about?
So this goes back to what I was saying about we are very lucky in Toronto to have these spaces and that we get to explore them and use culture to look into them. So really part of what the festival in Toronto does, not every festival in the world, but the festival in Toronto, is that it is there to celebrate the city of mm-hmm. Toronto. And often what we do is align ourselves with the public interest or with an initiative that's happening in the city to explore a certain area or a building or a space or something mm-hmm. that might not be ready now but might be a vision of the future. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, that beautiful Cirque du Soleil program I talked about was really, in many ways, an exploration of closing the waterfront and would it work for pedestrian traffic flow mm-hmm. and would people like that or not like that? And in the end, it turned out to be really great.
And that was the road along the water.
Exactly, which ultimately they did close yes. and they had to do a lot of construction on. And our program with Cirque du Soleil was a little test or a teaser, a precursor to that.
Right.
And it helped a lot of people kind of figure out what was coming next.
Yeah.
This year, and so we've done that with multiple spaces across mm-hmm. the city. This year we're looking into what is called the Portlands, which mm-hmm. is a certain area of Toronto down on the waterfront, which is being redeveloped over the next 5 to 10 years. There's a lot of attention in Toronto mm-hmm. on that area and a lot of movement. People know the city of Toronto is growing by leaps and bounds. Mm-hmm. And so this is an area in the downtown core where you're going to see a lot of new development mm-hmm. going in the next short while. So there's a building that happens to be a semi-abandoned building, which is absolutely massive. It's mm-hmm. called the Hearn Generating Station. Mm-hmm. It is three times the size of the Tate Modern. Mm-hmm. And it is, unlike the Tate Modern now, when you go in, it's lovely, it's beautiful, it's a modern art gallery, it's great, one of the best. And the Hearn is completely, completely an abandoned space. Very rough. It's currently leased out for movie shoots. Mm-hmm. It's when I actually was first in there, was when I was working on a film. And we're taking it over. In this redevelopment of the Portlands, the city is really focused on this building because it is such a massive building mm-hmm. in the downtown core and it's not being used to its full extent. There's really a question of what are we going to do with the Hearn? It's mm-hmm. sort of a big deal. Can imagine the size of this building right downtown Toronto.
An industrial building, old industrial.
Completely industrial. Completely
Hopefully industrial. They'll keep it, industrial element to it, because we're losing so much of our industrial property
exactly,
right now.
Exactly, and there's
downtown.
A lot of proposition on what to do with this much mm-hmm. space and this much area. And Jorn Weisbrot, our artistic director, sat on a panel which was discussing the Hearn. And he, you know, his proposition was you could use culture as a catalyst. Certainly you can for any area or city, and it's important, but also you could use that as something to do in the Hearn Generating Station. So we are, you know, for our 16 days in 2016, mm-hmm. we are actually not just making a proposition about what you can do in the Hearn, we're actually showing people what you can do. We
right.
are inhabiting it mm-hmm. for this entire period of time in what you might refer to as a mini cultural Coachella kind of thing, where mm-hmm. we will mix in visual arts and dance and music, and I'm building a whole theater and an art gallery mm-hmm. and a music space and wow. within this abandoned space. All temporary, all only for the 16 days. It's all going to go in and come out, and at the end of it, you'll not know that we were there, but you will have
this sounds like Burning Man.
Log, yeah, exactly. It has that kind of feel to it. But what will be left over is something that is measurable longer than a brick staying on the ground. It's
yes.
measurable in the emotion and the experience
mm-hmm.
that we have created
yes.
for the public. And when you incite the public imagination, that's mm-hmm. really when great things happen. So that's what we're trying to be the catalyst
mm-hmm.
for.
When you create theater or performance in a public space, say a park or something, people start, every time they go back to that
yeah.
space, they imagine that, what they experienced at that
yeah.
time. And
I still have people, we did a really beautiful work in the very first year of the festival by Raphael Lozano Hemmer, which was called Pulse Front.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 50 of the most powerful spotlights, 50 of the most powerful spotlights in the world, all lined up along the waterfront in Toronto. Raphael's a really super talented artist. And you could walk up to what was sort of a sensor, a station, mm-hmm. and hold on to these two bars, mm-hmm. and it read your pulse.
Right.
And then the spotlights responded to your heartbeat. So you could actually see your heartbeat being reflected in the sky of the city of Toronto. Mm. And it really was incredibly beautiful. And people to this day come up and start talking about it because they just it inspired the imagination,
yes.
for people. And we've been really lucky. You know, you don't get it 100%, mm-hmm. but we've been very, very lucky with the Luminato Festival to really be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our greatest achievement over mm-hmm. the past 10 years. Not that in individual work, although that was good, but all of this kind of lasting emotional mm-hmm. attachment of individual experiences mm-hmm. that we could provide to people over the 10 years is really mm-hmm. great.
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
You
were the new kid on the block and now a very established part of the cultural.
It is amazing to tip over the edge of being originally being the upstart and then now watching other people come into the space and watching the landscape of other organizations, how it's played out. It's been really great.
Yes. Yeah. So for yourself now, how did you get into the arts?
I've always been a producer. I have a particular love for the visual arts and dance, and but really the visual arts now, after a long career of working in, I started a Broadway production company, but then I moved into television, and then I worked in fashion for a while as a creative director in New York, and then I worked in the movies, and then I did some online, and then I got into this not-for-profit arts. One of the things that I really love now, and I think it's a great time to be doing this, is that the visual arts have materially changed mm-hmm. over the course of the past 20 years in some ways, so probably mm-hmm. longer. But more and more, an artist will look to someone like me to help them bring their vision to fruition, mm-hmm. and that process is very, very different in each of the genres mm-hmm. that we're talking about, or could you know, dance, music, theater, visual arts. But I particularly like the process with visual artists. I think that they're, you're never done the creative journey mm-hmm. in many ways mm-hmm. with the visual artists until they suddenly say, okay, now it's done. And I think that that constant sense of exploration and change until the moment, the cataclytic moment of it being finished, is actually kind of exciting as a producer. You know,
and how is that different from, say, dance?
I think, well, dance, it's very different from dance because often the medium that choreographers are working in, dancers are trained from the time they're a fetus mm-hmm. to come out, and they know that they're going to be up at 5 and, and practicing at this, and they're going to go mm-hmm. to rehearsal, and they're mm-hmm. come, and they're prepared when they're doing it. So it's a very, as creative as it is, because it's incredibly creative, it is a much more rigid structure.
Yes.
It's like, it's more like, you know, I've, you know, there's dancers, then there's theater people, and then there's musicians. You mm-hmm. know, they're all in a scale.
Mm-hmm.
But the dancers have a body training,
yes.
okay, which is so inherent in what they're doing because
and has
of
to
the,
be kept up.
It has to be kept up, and because of the discipline that's required mm-hmm. in order to do their work, mm-hmm. and when the choreographer or that part of the art is doing their work. There's just a natural sense mm-hmm. of progression. We rehearse for this amount of weeks, and then we know that we have an opening, and the curtain goes up, and it's going to be finished. That doesn't occur to most visual mm-hmm. artists. Most visual artists live in a world where the work is done when the work is done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done because a curtain needs to go up at 8 o'clock on June 10th. That's not the world that they generally develop in. And so when you're in the journey with the visual artist, it can sometimes be quite challenging and exciting, but it's also really, I find it really fun, and I get a lot of joy out of it
mm-hmm.
because I find that there's not more or less than any other artist, but I just feel like there's something in the creative mind of a visual artist that I find really fascinating, and I find the process interesting.
It can go in many directions, I guess, whereas dance is very... It's funny because you sort of think of dance as kind of ethereal because it's movement, but actually the reality is for dancers... is very regimented, as you say, in a sense.
Within its space. I mean, there's a lot of people exploring wonderful things in dance these days, and it's also I have a great love for it. But there's it's just a different process, and it's fun. And I've been really lucky to work with great people. So I don't know. Maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and I want to do another theater piece. But right now today I'm loving the visual art.
Right, that's great. So what visual art do you have planned for the space?
I can't tell you.
When
it gets announced, I'll tell you.
I see. When does it get announced?
It's probably going to be announced in the next month or so.
So the Illuminato Festival happens in June.
In June.
Right.
10th to the 26th of June this year. And it's always sort of in that first or second week of June in Toronto, which is really great.
And you keep it under your hat until there's an
actual... Well, we try to. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of things leak.
Yes.
But we try to keep the excitement of there being an announcement out there. And we have one of the best marketing departments around, I think. So they do a great job of keeping all of us in line to make sure that we do that well. So.
So did you, you've been in the space already before?
Many, many,
in this
many
same space.
Times. Yeah, I mean, I have just in the past 6 months, I've...
But you haven't produced anything there yet.
We did last year. We did a wonderful music festival called the Unsound Music Festival, which originates out of Krakow. And we brought the curators from there. They're super talented. It is a very, very highly curated... music festival about electronic music, but you have to see it to believe it.
Right.
Or I guess hear it to believe it.
But it must have a big visual element to it.
It does have a big visual element to it, and then when you add the context of the Hearn on top of it, it really was I encourage people to come because it really is truly a magical moment. It is one of those sort of moments where your senses are all sort of...
So that's something that's going to be repeated?
It is. That'll be in our opening weekend, and that has been announced. And then we'll have we have an art gallery which will be open and running throughout the period of time there, and then we have a series of other concerts that are happening throughout the week, some dance pieces, and we have a trilogy of plays by the National Theatre of Scotland that are going to come in and run in a theatre that we're building specifically for them in the space.
So now that you're using that space, are you still doing your collaborations with different organizations in the city, or is the focus are you becoming focused more on...
The fun thing now is yes, we are collaborating with Canadian artists. That's the big next announcement, all the Canadian work that we're collaborating with, but there's... on top of that, we have a partner program where people from around the city and other organizations are coming into the Hearn to do their work there. We're providing all the service and the opportunity for them to be in the space.
Right.
So we're providing the space and they're providing the work, which is really great. And we're providing the platform and the marketing and everything for them, which is that it has turned out to be a really wonderful part of our program.
Because I remember that early on, you would partner with, say, the Harbourfront.
Right.
And then they would put on
we're partnering with Harbourfront Centre again this year.
They're going to be presenting something that is connected with the Illuminato Festival.
Well, we're presenting together something in their space is essentially the way we look at it. But yes, we will be working together with them.
Right. That's a lot to be producing.
It's fun. I mean, there's certainly a lot right currently on the plate. And then I have a consulting company that just does the visual art in public spaces, so that's ongoing as well. I keep up, and we work sort of across North America
with that. Yeah. So now, if you were to imagine or think back on one or two of your favorite, I know you've mentioned a couple, something that anything that sticks out in your mind or a challenge to as a producer?
I love them all equally. It's like your children. You know?
Yes, of course.
It really is fun because a producer, at the end of the day, is just you know, we were saying it before. You end up being your job is to be the enabler.
Yeah.
That side of it, your promoter and all these other things. But ultimately, when you're in the room with the artist, whatever artwork they're creating, you're helping them make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's a very wonderful space to play in. You have to love that kind of servant leadership kind mm-hmm. of role, and but at its best, it's really lovely. I don't know. I love many different variety of things. I know we did a program once. You know, I love things like everything from, you know, I worked on a production of Macbeth, I think almost 2 years ago now, mm. with Kenneth Branagh and Alex Kingston in their New York stage debut at the Park Avenue Armory, mm-hmm. which was Rob Ashford directed. It was absolutely brilliant. It was great. So I love doing everything from that very, very large scale mm-hmm. Work to, you know, we did a program in Regent Park in Toronto before it was redeveloped or yes. just as it was going to be redeveloped. And we have one of the really great education and outreach people that works with us, or did work with us at the festival, and her name is Jessica Dargo Kaplan. I don't know why I'm getting it wrong. Sorry, Jessica Dargo Kaplan.
Yes.
And she helped curate a work along with Chris Lorway, who was our great artistic director at the time, where they worked with artists to go into that community and ask them what the meaning of home was, mm-hmm. and worked with the families and the children of that community to express that through art and culture, through the film program that they run in Regent Park and some other artwork. And that work itself, although, you know, maybe it doesn't get mentioned in Canadian Art Magazine or, mm-hmm. or Art Forum or whatever, and isn't on an international platform, I feel that kind of work for me also mm-hmm. has, to me, it brings me great joy to mm-hmm. do that kind of work and to use culture in a way that makes people identify with their space and mm-hmm. proud of to be, you know, part of a community outreach.
So, right. So there. So that there's the large international big projects, but
sure.
also things that are more embedded or coming up from the community
the
itself.
Community. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I think you, as a producer, you can do a lot of variety of different things. You can do these international works and that get lots of recognition. Which is great, and I think it's really powerful. But then there's a moment, for me at least, I don't know if it's probably not for everybody, but for me, I think those are wonderful, and I like doing them, and I've been very lucky to be able to do them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get as much, if not in some ways, more joy out of this community work, because I think that there's again, it goes back to that, what are we producing? We're producing experiences. What are we, and are we inciting the imagination? And maybe in some ways, you're inciting the imagination of people who need that the most,
mm-hmm.
you know, at a certain period of time. So I am happy to be able mm-hmm. to be engaged in that way.
And there's it's also sort of brings up the whole question of spectator as opposed to somebody who is invested, actually personally invested in a project too. Like if you go to a big spectacle, you are a spectator, and it's hard
yeah.
to not be a spectator and be, you know, like
yeah.
you know, on that other community level, there's opportunity for regular people to actually participate in the creative process, I guess.
Oh, totally. And it's particularly in that work, they were creating the work for the most part. There were some works created by artists in the space as well, which is brilliant and wonderful, and it helps lift them
mm-hmm.
and show
mm-hmm.
and give education to the people in the group. But also they're producing the work themselves
mm-hmm.
which is very meaningful, particularly in that context. They were asking about, as I said, about what is home in a space where they were being moved out of their homes so that the redevelopment of that land could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it, I hope, that it helped people through that transition in
mm-hmm,
some way.
Because there would be a lot of fear involved in being displaced and whether you'd be come back and what would you come back to.
Who and where are you
all of these things,
You know, ultimately the arts aren't there to answer all these questions, but they can help people along the road. And that's not always what it should be doing. It shouldn't always be political.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are opportunities for us to use culture and art to help people along the way. And I think when we can, it's good to do.
Yeah, provides a language, I guess, for people to
absolutely
talk about these different themes and everything.
Yeah.
So, well, Clyde, I'd like to thank you very much for giving us a little picture of the Illuminato Festival in Toronto. And good luck with your next iteration.
Thank you very much for having me here.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.